You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Welcome back to the podcast, and welcome back to our last episode in this series that we have titled God's Gift of Physical Intimacy. It's Pastor John here, and great to be back with you. Yeah, I took some extra time with this one. We delayed a week because I just really wanted to make sure that this was going to honor God. I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing something that was sensationalized or edgy just to get downloads. That's never our heart with these resources. So I wanted to make sure it honored God. And frankly, I've been dealing with a little anxiety that I might somehow come across as claiming to be the expert in this area, or that I even fancy myself as a superstar in the bedroom or something like that. I want to be really careful with this. Now, I will say I've been married for 30 years, and I think the health of the physical intimacy that I have in my marriage with my wife is as strong as ever, but I'm always learning. Yeah, I don't think I've arrived in that area of our marriage. And that's really the beauty of a committed marriage. That's the beauty of a husband and wife who are really trying to meet one another's needs. As we've talked about earlier in this series, when a husband and wife are thinking more about giving sex and giving pleasure than having sex and having pleasure, it really is a pretty incredible thing. I think it's the gift that God meant it to be. And so hopefully you're both always growing in this area, both you and your wife. I hope that you're talking about how to meet one another's needs. We are not mind readers. And although, you know, we can tell from experience what tends to give our spouse pleasure when we are intimate, talking about it is so important, and it's so much more effective to be able to grow in this area. Before we get into the details, I really want to encourage you to listen to the first two episodes if you haven't before this one. This one is going to be a little more focused, you know, in the bedroom and on the physical act itself and some things that I just think are important, but none of this will improve the physical intimacy in your marriage, at least long term, if you're not doing some of the other things we've talked about, like speaking your spouse's love language, making sure that you're being unselfish when it comes to physical intimacy. So please go back and listen to the first two episodes if you haven't. And again, I would say if you're single, I wouldn't listen to this episode today. I just would encourage you, go to a different topic. I don't want to put temptation in your mind if you're single. Now, if you're engaged, if you're going to be married in the near future, you know, I would say within a month, then I think it'd be okay to go ahead and listen to this episode. But if you're single and you're not engaged, or if you're single and you're engaged, but the wedding is still 6-7 months away, I would avoid the temptation. You know, put this on the back burner and listen to it a little closer. So let's go ahead and dive in. The first thing I would talk about is we're not called to be gym rats. We shouldn't make physical fitness the most important thing. I think a lot of people idolize it, but taking care of our body and being in good overall physical condition, that will improve physical intimacy in your marriage. And I just think in general, it's honoring to God. The Bible tells us that our body is a temple. If we want to be of service to God, we want to be as healthy as we can be. Again, I'm not talking about having a six-pack. I'm not talking about being shredded. But I am talking about functional strength. I'm talking about taking care of your body. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5, 14 and 15, the bride is talking about her beloved. She says, "His arms are like rounded bars of gold set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory glowing with lapis lazuli. His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately, like the noble cedars of Lebanon." This guy was built, right? This guy took care of himself. Now, again, I'm not saying that we need to be in the gym 7 days a week, but are we functionally strong? I mean, from a very practical standpoint, men, I'm just going to get, you know, very direct here. Can you hold a plank with your knees on the floor. Not that you necessarily have to hold a plank on your toes, but can you support your body weight in a plank position on your knees? Because in the man on top position or missionary position, if you can support your body weight and your wife isn't having to support that body weight, that's going to be much more enjoyable for her. And then afterwards, you know, after climax, for many, many women, they enjoy just kind of the afterglow of that and the eye contact. And if you can support your weight for a longer period of time, that's going to be more enjoyable for her. Again, I'm not saying that you have to go out and start doing CrossFit, but are you functionally strong? The other thing I would bring up related to this are pelvic floor exercises, or you may have heard Kegels. I remember when my wife and I did our very first prenatal class together, when she had her first pregnancy, the nurse that led that talked about the importance of the Kegel exercises for women and for how they would play a role in the delivery process. But she also talked about how they would improve physical intimacy, how they could improve the climax that your wife has, how they can reduce incontinence after childbirth and all those things that women deal with. But then she also challenged the men to do them because it can help with control. It can help you last longer. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of how to do Kegels. You can Google that if you don't know, but those pelvic floor exercises can help improve the level of physical intimacy you experience, both for the man and the woman. Again, this is a men's podcast, and I know the vast majority of our listeners are men, but I do talk to women on a regular basis who listen to this podcast, and so those pelvic floor exercises can be helpful. So again, just in general, take care of your body, and obviously, I know that there are limitations. If you're dealing with medical issues that prevent that, if you are dealing with a genetic disorder or some other issue that prevents you from, you know, going to the gym, from exercising, I'm not asking you to do something that you're incapable of doing, but I'm just saying in general, take care of your body. And, you know, men, I know that women are not as visual as we are, but they are visual. You know, your wife is going to have more of a desire to be intimate if you're taking care of yourself. Again, I'm trying to be really careful here to not make it sound like you have to have 8% body fat. That's not the point of this, but just to be in good overall physical condition as much as we can be. Again, if there are other limitations, I think is super helpful. The next thing that I would say is know your wife's body and know your body. Know the parts of your wife's body that she enjoys being touched in, or she enjoys, you know, being caressed or even being kissed. And that's going to take conversation. There's obviously some just exploration that happens, and you're going to know which things she enjoys and which things she doesn't. But talking about it is key. 1 Peter 3:7, I don't think, is primarily addressing this idea of physical intimacy, but I do think it's an application. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Again, I don't think it's the primary point of that passage, and I want to be careful not to take it out of context, but if I'm living with my wife in an understanding way, and physical intimacy is a big part of our marriage, as I think it should be for most couples, unless there's a medical issue or illness or something involved, it should be regular. It should be an important part of our relationship. And so living with her in an understanding way is learning what gives her pleasure, learning what she enjoys, what she doesn't enjoy. Now, I hope she's doing the same for me. I hope that she's also trying to discover what brings me enjoyment and what brings me pleasure. But whether she does or not, I'm to live my life in a way that I'm giving up my life for her like Christ did the church. Again, I'm thinking about it as giving sex, not having sex. There's a great book that I recommend for especially newly married couples or couples engaged called Intended for Pleasure by Ed and Gay Wheat. A couple gave us that book when my wife and I got married. And although it was a little awkward when you're thinking about someone giving you that book, I'm so grateful that they did. One of the things that book does is it's going to get into your wife's anatomy. It's going to get into your anatomy. It's going to get into her anatomy. It's going to talk about her clitoris. It's going to talk about her G-spot. And those are both real things, and they're important. For most women, there are some exceptions, but most women will not orgasm. They will not climax if there's not stimulation to the clitoris. So in that book, and there are other resources, but just obviously be careful, men. I mean, this is something you don't want to do a lot of Googling on, and be careful what you go to. Look for trusted resources. And the intensity, the pressure, the speed, all of those things, every woman's going to be different as to what your wife really enjoys. And so again, the best thing to do is just have those conversations. Your wife may not even know where her G-spot is. So that's something that you two can discover together. And many women cannot climax with just G-spot stimulation. Again, clitoral stimulation will need to be included as well. That doesn't mean that your wife is less than, if that describes her. Again, this isn't about comparing ourselves to other couples, or your wife shouldn't be comparing herself to other women. This is something that the two of you get to explore and discover together. And can I just say, when you're doing that, laugh a little. Like, you're going to have some things that don't go as planned. You're going to make some mistakes, so to speak. You're going to learn this together, and you're going to go on this journey together. And so just extend one another grace. Don't take yourselves too seriously. Learn how to laugh. Now, as you're discovering what she enjoys, it is typically more important for women than men to have foreplay, to help her body get to the place where she's ready for intercourse. And so find out, again, talking and just exploration, what your wife enjoys the most. There are different erogenous zones on our wife's bodies, and for different women, some of them are more important and feel better than others. You know, they have nerve endings all along their spinal cord that a light caress along her back, or kisses along her back on both sides of her spinal cord, for many women, that's extremely pleasurable. For your wife, it may be her neck. Again, kisses to her neck or caressing her neck. It may be her feet. Not trying to advocate a foot fetish here, but for many women, rubbing her feet, that is an erogenous zone and can help her get in the mood. Obviously, her breasts. Maybe for your wife, it's the back of her knee. I know for many women, again, not from experience, this is just but research I've done, rubbing the back of her knee, caressing it in a circular motion can be very exciting for women. So all of these things, guys, it's just going to be a matter of trying new things with your wife, talking to her about it, finding out what she does enjoy, what she doesn't enjoy, and then don't take yourself too serious. Let's talk briefly about oral sex. And we're just going to get right to it. I can't see anything in the Bible that just explicitly says oral sex would be a sin. I will say this, however, if you're having to use guilt, if you're having to manipulate your wife, if you're whining about it, if you're pressuring her to do it, then that would be sinful. That would be sinful for you to receive oral sex if you're having to do those things to get your wife to participate. If it's something she doesn't want to do, then it's sinful for you to push that. And I would say the same goes for her receiving it. You know, you might say, well, I'm pleasuring her, so I'm really doing it for her. But if she doesn't enjoy it, if it's not her thing, again, if you have to manipulate her, if you have to guilt her into that, that would be sinful. I know this is a touchy subject, but you know, we're all adults here, and so I just think it's something we have to talk through. I've seen several teachings from guys that I think are way off on this. I've seen pastors who claim that this is a right, that it's a right for a man to be able to expect to receive oral sex from his wife. It's not a right. Again, we don't control our bodies. We're supposed to be thinking about this from the perspective of our wife's enjoyment. If your wife enjoys it, fantastic. You know, if your wife's okay with it, and maybe okay is not even the right word. Yeah, I think, again, if you're having to kind of get her to force herself to do it, then I think it should be off limits for you and in your marriage. So just something to be thinking about, something to be praying about, and something to have honest conversations with your wife about. Your wife may be just the type of amazing person that, although she absolutely detests it, she knows that you like it, and so she's willing to do it. Again, if it were me and that were my wife, I wouldn't want her to. I wouldn't want her to do something she detests just to bring me enjoyment. If it's not something that she can at least be, I would say, neutral about, then to me that would be off limits. All right, let's talk about the environment. So one of the things that's a little different for men and women is it's much harder for our wives to kind of turn off their brain to all of the other responsibilities that they have going on than it is for men. I mean, for most of us, if we know we're getting ready to be able to make love with our wives, all of a sudden, everything else that we were thinking about, all the other responsibilities, all the weight of the world we had on our shoulders, it's gone. And praise God for that. I'm so glad that for the most part, that's the way men are wired, and what a blessing it is for us. But that's not how our wives are wired. It's so hard. If our wife knows that tomorrow she's got to get the kids ready for school, she's got to run errands, she maybe has a job of her own, you know, she has all these things on her plate, it is harder for her to be able to put that on the shelf. So how can you help in that? Are there tasks that you can do for your wife so that she's not thinking about them? Or can you assure your wife that you will help her with a task so that it's easier for her to turn her brain off? Again, this is where foreplay, I think, is so important. It's going to take our wife typically longer to not just be aroused physically, but to be able to shut down all of the responsibilities, to be able to put that stuff aside. So maybe it begins with a nice back rub. Maybe it begins with, you know, a nice neck rub. And I mentioned this on another episode. I do think it's important, especially if your wife's love language is physical touch, that you are giving your wife adequate physical touch that does not lead to sex. So if the only time your wife gets a back rub or a neck rub from you is when you want to make love, that's not healthy. We need to make sure that our wife is getting a proper amount of physical touch that doesn't lead to sex. So let's talk about how we can create an environment that's free from anxiety for your wife, free from distraction. So again, we've talked about helping her with some of those responsibilities, helping her to shut off, you know, everything else that's going around in her mind. The other thing that I would do, especially if you have kids in the home, is make sure you do everything you can to take away anxiety about the children. So basic things, you know, make sure your door is locked. If you know that you're going to be intimate, the last thing you want to have happen is one of your kids to walk in on you. Not just because of that experience itself, but guys, your wife is then going to have that fear moving forward. What if the kids come in? And if she has anxiety of any kind, it's going to affect the experience. Like, I just know that for a fact. I've experienced that in my own marriage. I'm sure you do. If there is anxiety in the bedroom, it will impact intimacy. So, you know, make sure the door is locked. This is one reason I am adamant you should not have kids sleeping with you. I think that dishonors the marriage bed. Not, you know, an infant, I could extend a little grace for an infant, but if your child is, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, and you're still allowing them to sleep with you at night, You can get mad at me for saying this if you want, but you're putting that child ahead of your spouse. That is not good. We're supposed to set our spouses apart. That should be the most important relationship on this earth. The only relationship more important than that of our spouse is the relationship we have with God. So don't let the kids sleep in the bed with you. I mean, that just adds so many complications to being able to be intimate on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. Background noise. It might be nice to have a fan going or the radio on, or if you have a TV in your bedroom, which I'm not a big fan of, but if you have a TV in your bedroom, something to create some background noise so that, you know, you and your wife aren't as worried about the kids hearing what's going on in the bedroom. I think another thing that's super important is, I would say on at least a quarterly basis, you need to schedule a day away where the kids aren't home if you have kids. So if financially, if budget-wise, that's, you know, not really an option for you to be able to go away and stay overnight somewhere, that's fine. Then be creative. Have the kids go stay somewhere and you just stay at home. Or if you have kids who are school age, take a day off of work, but don't go anywhere. You know, get the kids off to school and then just enjoy a day alone with your wife. A day where you can just focus on one another, a day where you don't have the demands of worrying about, you know, the kids. I just think that's so important. I don't want to be legalistic about it has to be every quarter. I mean, that's a conversation you and your wife have. Maybe it's a little more frequent, maybe it's a little less frequent, but I wouldn't make it an annual thing. I mean, it's just silly that we would think that we only need to once a year on our anniversary trip have time dedicated to where I can just really focus on my wife's physical needs and meeting those. Because the reality is, with kids in the home especially, and, you know, with work and all the demands, I mean, often we're exhausted and you're not going to have the kind of lovemaking sessions that you do read about in Song of Solomon, where, you know, they're taking hours to just enjoy one another, hours of foreplay, hours of just admiring one another's beauty, of talking to one another. Those things are important, but you can't do that on a regular basis. You have to be very intentional about that, very intentional about setting aside time to do those things. Let me read from Song of Solomon, chapter 7. The heading here is "The Bride Gives Her Love." So this is the bride talking. She says, "Come, my beloved, let us go out into the fields and lodge in the villages." Some translations say among the henna plants there. "But let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and beside our doors are all choice fruits, new as well as old, which I have laid up for you, O my beloved." I just love the intentionality. I think sometimes we can get really lazy. We can just view physical intimacy with our spouse as, you know, just kind of something that we take for granted. We're not intentional about it anymore. We don't look for options to, again, create an environment where we can really be just totally there for one another. So let's not be lazy about it, man, and let's not just seek to satisfy our own needs. Let's make sure that we're really creating an environment that's pleasurable for our wives, that allows them to put aside all the worries, all the responsibilities that they have, where they know that we are really focused on them and not just focused on our own needs. And I just pray that this would be a source of blessing for you and your marriage. I know we already talked about that on another episode, but again, I think when husband and wife pray regularly about the physical intimacy in their marriage, I think that is so important, because the enemy is going to want to use that to create division in your marriage. He's going to take this amazing gift that God has given us, this amazing blessing we have, where we can connect in such a deep way, and the enemy is going to try and use that to create frustration. He's going to try and use that to create division. Don't let him do that. Be intentional. talk about it. Let one another share with each other what gives them pleasure. Really listen to your wife in this area because, you know, guys, maybe it's just me, but all I thought I knew when I got married, most of it was wrong. All the stuff you see in the media, all the stuff your buddies talk about in the locker room, man, most of it was wrong. And I'm just so glad that I was smart enough to listen to my wife, to ask questions. And you have to be patient with this, especially if you're newly married. If you just ask your wife, well, what do you like? Well, she doesn't know. She's learning it as she goes too. And so, you know, that might be a situation where you're asking your wife, I mean, I'm just going to be very, very detailed here, guys. Do you like it, you know, when I caress you up and down or side to side? Do you like this speed or do you like this speed? Do you like this amount of pressure or this amount of pressure? Those are perfectly fine conversations to have between a husband and wife because it shows that you are doing everything you can do to make this a pleasurable experience for your spouse. You want to make it about them, not about yourself. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope that this will bring blessing and bring increased pleasure to you and your spouse. Again, there are great resources out there, that Intended for Pleasure book. You know, also gets into if you struggle with premature ejaculation, some techniques for that. There's just a lot of good stuff in that book. I definitely would encourage you to take it out, especially if you're newly married. Okay, guys, we're going to do a totally different spin on the next series. It won't be related to physical intimacy at all, but I'm going to surprise you when we kick it off here in 2 weeks, and we'll see you the next time on the podcast.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.